Gitten Peg Dal Mishnah Beis. This Mishnah touches off of a string of Mishnayos over here that deal with problematic situations where there had to be a gzeira in order to fix a problem where a mikshel could come out. What's interesting is that all of the gzeiras have either Ram Gamliel or Rav Shimon Gamliel or Beis Hillel, which is all from one mishpacha. The hagosha is that all these takonis were not made by individuals, they were made by the Botei Dinim Kvuim. And the Bezin is called, you find this in the Tesefta and other Makaris, that sometimes when the Mishnah quotes Rav Shimon Gamliel, or Hiskin Rav Gamliel Azokin, what that means to say is the Sanhedrin HaGodl of Yerushalayim, and it's called Al-Shem Rav Gamliel Azokin, because he was the Reish, he was the Nasi of the Sanhedrin. So the first din that we have over here in this list of Mechshalim that needed a takona was a continuation of the very din that we had in the last Mishnah. And that is Bittel HaGet Ayidei Shliach. We have a problematic situation. Picture the Dor Rav Gamliel HaZokin. It's probably from the first few hundred years where Yidden are living far-flung communities. They're Yidden in Eretz Yisrael. They're Yidden in Bavel. They're Yidden in Mitzrayim. You look at the Gemaras, B'shas, the second base of Migdash, and there were Yidden in the whole, at least the whole area around the Mediterranean. And it was a very Dovashchiach that you should have a get that's being sent mimokim levokim because of gzeiris, because of problems, because husbands were taken away for the army, captivity, so on and so forth, where a get was being sent, a shliach nemon, from place to place, which is really the basis of a lot of the halakhas that we've had so far in the Mishnais. Shlichus haget, going from place to place, b'fanenechtam. Here we're talking about bitl ha-shlichus, where the husband decides not to give the get. A get chalila could be given when the husband was mevatel the shlichus and the get is invalid, and yamar b'mamzeris. In the middle, there's a mokim over here for mechshalim. The husband was mevatel. The information that the get is no longer valid doesn't reach the wife. It doesn't reach the shliach. Rachmanal tzlan. Barishoyna haya oisa bezdin b'mokim achim mevatel. It's clear that there was a need for some type of safety device over here to prevent mechshalim. What they used to do first was they would have a bezdin b'mokam acher, in order that if something is said in front of three people, it already has a coil, and word of the bitl ha-shlichus will reach the wife, the shliach, en route, when they get there, and Rachman al-Tzlan will prevent the tragedy from happening, she should get remarried while she's still in Eshet Ish. The Rishonim point out that this was a takona keduma, hoya oise bezdin, zaloshen of a takona. However, me'ikir adin, it's not necessary to have a bezin. There's no reason why bitl ha-shlichus should need in front of a bezin. What the Gemara is mevur al pi braises is that even me'ikir adin is a need for two people. Not because of koil or because of mechshalim, me'ikir adin. And that the reason for that is because a normal bitl ha-shlichus, a person sent a shliach to buy something in the grocery store, he can be mevatel the shliach. The shliach does hear, doesn't hear. What's the difference? He can be mevatel beinoy beinatzmoy. Now, the problem is only if he's mevatel b'noi b'natzmei, nobody's going to know about it. Okay, but as far as the shlichus becoming bottle, there's no reason why that shouldn't work. It's not dvarim shebelev if he's mevatel out loud. If he thinks in his heart, he's not mevatel because he didn't say anything. Over here we say that since when the shlichus of the get is not only a verbal shlichus, but it's a verbal shlichus with a maisa, it gives over a get for the shlich to take. It creates a maisa. The koyach of the dibur hamavatelas me'ikra din has to have some type of toykiv. It has to be said in front of two people. If not, we look at it like dvarim shebelev. A dibur garua, any yochel levatel, a dibur chozok of shlichus. And therefore, me'ikra din two, the takona keduma was to make a bezin, al kaponim for there to be a koil. Rabbi Gamliel Hazokin felt it was not enough. Hiskin, Rabbi Gamliel Hazok, shlo yuoysen kain, mipnei tikun ha'oilom, like we said, the mechsholim robu. And therefore, they will mevatel completely the din of being able to be mevatel l'shlichus. It's possible, the Rav, the Tes Yom Tov, have a little bit of an esek, al pi rishonim, if this was just an extension of the original takana, because of mechshalim, the koil of even in front of three is not enough, memel, don't be mevatel l'shlichus b'chol oifin, or over here with something else. The husband is not going to be able to resist. Sometimes a husband sending a wife to his get and he wants Kedei Litzari. So finally they convinced him to divorce his wife. It's an estranged couple. He's living in one place, she's living in some place. Very shchiach in today's world, unfortunately. And finally the get is sent. You finally convince him to send the get. Fine. The get is en route. Ah, he can't resist. He's going to cancel the get. He's going to cancel the shlichus of the get. Bechdei to be mitzayher. So because of takonas agunois, that's why Rabbi Gamliel Azok was misakin that you shouldn't do bitla shlichus. Now, if bitla shlichus doesn't work, however, the Rishonim comes from the Gemara, point out that if the bittel is to the face of the shliach or to the face of the isha, there it does work. That's not going to create any mechshalim. It's also because he's not going to make it. The shliach is usually 2,000 miles ahead of him by the time he turns around. So it doesn't help. He can't do it in a bezdin. He's going to have to meet up with the shliach that he's not going to be able to do. In front of the shliach or to the isha, over there, it does work. Now, what's interesting is a machlokes Rishonim. It's a fundamental machlokes between the Rashba and Rashi. What happens if he's not mevatel the shlichus? What would be the on the deraisa level if he's not mevatel the shlichus? He just tells the shlich, "I don't want you to give the get." That means he wants to hold the shlichus in reserve. He wants to hold the shlichus in reserve. He doesn't want to be mevatel him. He announces in front of Bezdin that he doesn't want the shlich to give it now. As Ken Zayin, that the concept of shlichus means kemoise, that the shlich is doing an extension of what he wants to do. If the Baal doesn't want, even if the shlich be'etzim still has a koyach shlichus, because there was a minu shlichus, he wasn't mevatel the minu shlichus, but if he doesn't want to give it now, he can't give it now. That's what the Rashba holds. The Rashi kanira holds not that way. G'dele achrenim shtelzuch, that in Rashi is mevur, that shlichus is not only that when you do something, alpi, the shlich does something for the mishalech, it's called the ma'ase of the mishalech, but the way we said it in the first parak, shlichus means that when the mishalech gives over the shlichus to the shlich is empowered, it's chal in him that he has a koyach legarish. Because it's chal in him that he has a koyach legarish, that koyach is independent of the mishalech. The mishalech doesn't want the shlich to give the get, tough luck, no vos. The Mishalech could always be mevatel the minu, because that's only a dibur, also dibur mevatel dibur. But for him just to tell the shlich that he doesn't want him to give the get, the shlich has his own koyach, he's empowered, he has a koyach legarish. So he would have to be mevatel the shlich. That's one machlok sushen. What the Gemara is masber over here is that there's another nekuda as well. If we say that the husband was mevatel the shlichus, so then betzim the get is certainly invalid from the deraisa. You're going to go ahead, you're going to give the get. Takonar Ram Galil said you can't be mevatel. Okay, now what happens? You have a lady who's midaraisa and not migureshes. She's an eshesish, and she's going to get married. Over here, the Gemara has to say famously that since every kedushin is al das Moshe v'Yisrael, afkinu rabbanon kedushin minei. And the Rishonim have a machloikis over here in similar takonas. There's a few other places where they have this machloikis. Does that mean that Chazal were actually mevatel the kedushin lemafreya? They made that in every kedushin there's a tenai that if later on the husband gives his wife a get, sends his wife again, then he's mevatel. So then Chazal were oikir the kedushin lemafreya. Is it really an akira lemafreya? That you have to know. If you say it's mamish an akira lemafreya, it's lechera. Every time a woman's mezana, if the husband wants to save her from the oinish, so what he could do is he could try to be megarish her. Sends a shliach, his mevatel, and that will be oikid the kedushin lamafreya. She was never married, and then she's scot free. She was never mezana as an esh tzish. It can't be true. So that's a kasha that the Rishonim ask. Now the Mishnah goes on to another takona, also mipnei michshol, and it's also for Rav Gamliel Azokim. Berishoyno, hoyu mishana, shmoy ushmo. When they would write to identify the Baal and the Isha, which is the basics of a get, Shemo Isha, Shemo Isha. So they would write his name, her name. They would write his name and her name the way they were called. B'mokum k'sivis haget. Sometimes a person is called a Yiddish name befrat could change, be'etzim the spelling should change alpi the pronunciation. If you're in Galicia, the letters Ayin and Aleph and Yuds, depending on how the name is pronounced or depending on the way the person is called, the writing could be different. The spelling could be different. Shem Iro v'Shem Iro also. L'chayra, the spelling of a mokim could be, it could very well be that people in Tveria spelled the name Tveria different than people in Yerushalayim writing about Tveria. Hiskin Ram Gamliel Hazokin She Ish Ploini Koisiv Ish Ploini Vichol Shem Sheyeshloi Ish Ploinis Vichol Shum Sheyeshlo. They write down all the names. This is the basics of what we call the large body of literature in the Poskim, Rishonim Achronim. This is one of the major asokim of Rabbonim, Dayonim that sit as Mesadir Gittin, is to be Bekim Ufloim in how to write different variations of a name. What's called a name? Person has a name. Person has the two names that he has for an Aliyah. He has the name. His name is Yaakov Yitzchok. He's called Yankel. At work, there are hundreds of people who know him in the industry as Jack. He's called by his some relatives, he's called Yankel. Yeshivi was known as Yankel. His family calls him Yankee. Which name? So there's a whole body of what's really his name, what's a kinui, how many people have to call him by a name in order to be part of a name. Rishonim Achronim has been written about for hundreds and hundreds of years. All the details and the kpeida that we're stark makbin on these types of inyonim have their basis in the takon over here in Ram Gamliel Hazokin. Ish ploini v'chol shem sheyesh lo, isha ploinis v'chol shum sheyesh lo. And the same thing goes for the cities where they live. Mipnei tikkun ha'olam. Now, today we don't write down the city where they live, but we're very makbin on the spelling, and it has to be done by a bez, and the meaning of for hundreds and hundreds of years is that a get should not be written in a place that didn't have a kvius shame by a bez and mufursim of gedei le'teira, being kvei shame of that mokim. Here, where I'm recording the shir in Muncie, so in the 1970s, one of the choshev misadre gitten in Muncie, who had at that point never written a get in Muncie, it was decided that the time had come. Muncie was enough of an ear in Israel, and Rabbi Moshe Feinstein and Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetzky, a fascinating article was written many, many years ago about the process of identifying, is it called Muncie, with an aleph, without an aleph, v'chadoyme. And as Muncie expands outward, there's different shtetl. You can only write in Muncie proper. What about Wesley Hills? What about Chestnut Ridge? What's the name? How to write it? Also, for hundreds and hundreds of years, what we have is that we only identify a name of a place. Like we said, Prokem ago, it could be the name of the place. You could have three shtetl with the same name in Galicia, Oberland, and Litta. So because of that, there were Keveya, the name of the shtot, with the river, only by a body of water. Muncie, there's no river flowing through Muncie, but you have Suzanne Lake. And it was Kukval, Pika de la Terra, 45 years ago, 50 years ago, that would be the body of water. And every place where you're going to write a get, you're going to have to identify the body of water with which to write a get. It's a fascinating study to go through these halachas and all the different details. Mishneh Gimel. Ein amonu nifras minichse yisoyim mele b'shvud. This is a completely different area in halacha. This has to do with gvias chayvois. It's only here because we're learning about the takonos of Ram Gamliel Hazokin. The halacha was that an almona could only collect minichse yisoyim. She's collecting her ksuba after her husband dies. She's collecting minichse yisoyim. There's a chash that maybe the chayv was paid, maybe money was put aside for her, and therefore she cannot collect minichse yisoyim ella b'shvua. This is a shvus hanoitl, it's a shvua derabonon. Perhaps she could collect the ksuba without it. But the rab brings down the lush in the Gemara that she also provided for the Yisraelim. She cooked them, she took care of them. So maybe she'll be Meir Heto, she'll be a little bit less than careful, and she'll put aside sums of money. She'll open up a bank account, skim money off the husband's account. We want that things should be with care, with caution. So they put into place a shvua. Nimnu mila hashbia. The problem was, is that there were batidinim that didn't want to be mashbi almonos because there were women who weren't as careful. You know, money comes, money goes. And they were afraid, where you could see that the woman didn't have an exact cheshbon of money coming in and money coming out. And maybe the shvur wasn't 100% accurate, how much money was collected to the ksuba, how much money is owed. So there were batidinim that didn't want to administer giving the shvur. There were women who couldn't collect the ksuba. It was a gefer l'chazach. Chazal was stark makbid that a woman should have a certain amount of financial independence after her husband dies. That's meikre din issues, is that there should be a ksuba. Hiskin Ram Gamliel Hazokin Shei Nederes Liyosem Kol Ma Sheyirtzu. That they shouldn't have to make a shvua, that they would make a neder that if they were already paid the ksuba, they would ask her up something. Whatever the Yisrael would choose. Let's say she likes coffee in the morning. Make a neder that from now on coffee is osur be'isa neder on you if you took money that's not coming to you. The point of a neder is that it's not as chomer as a shvur. The Batidinim weren't as afraid to administer the oath, but it was enough for the women to do a proper accounting of money in the account and money out of the account. And that would be enough. That's the takona. Nocha takona. Ha'edim choysim al get ne'tikin ha'olam. Edim sign on a get. Remember that we had a machloikis. Edim chsim akarti, edim mesir akarti. According to Rabbi Elazar of edim mesir akarti, there's no reason for edim to sign on a get. Because the ikar edim that shaf, the chalois of the shtar, of any shtar, are the edim that see the mesir of the get. From desvegin, you're going to have edim are going to disappear. Years later, you're going to want to be mekayim a shtar in a shtar. Shtar moment, a shtar kinyan on a house. So better to have the edim in the shtar, this way you could always be mekayim the signatures. You don't need the edim themselves. It could be 50 years later, they're long gone from the world, but somebody could be mekayim their chesimus, and with that you could be mekayim the shtar. Again, they take an oil. Otherwise, you know, people with shtars that are invalidated could make problems. Hillel hiskin pruzbul mepnei tikkun ha'olam. This is a loaded din, and the ikir dinim of shmitas ksofim, that in the seventh year of shmita, all choivos are nishmat, the pasuk says in Parshas Rei. If Reuven owes Shimon money, if Reuven owes Shimon, Levi, Yehudi, Yisachar, however many choivos he owes, at the end of Shvius, we're being says in the end of Shvius, even though there's a day in Rishon hold the beginning of Shvius, the end of Shvius, those choivos become null and void. Part of the shmita, part of the coming back to the Rebbeinu Shlelem, of leaving the fields hefker, of Kili Kol Haaretz, is that Malvim understand that money belongs to the Rebbeinu Shlelem, should lend you money without being stingy. The Pasuk even puts a lav on that. And then after Shemitah, understanding Kili Kol Haaretz, letting Chayvus go. Letting bygones be bygones and letting old Chayvus go. There's a lot of details when one learns the Sugya of Shemitah's Ksofim. In the Mishnah is the last parak of Shvius in Seder Zeroyim, and when one learns the Sugis over here, which Chayvus, not all Chayvus are Hushmat, depends the type of Chayv, the real classic Chayv, between a Malv and a Loiv alone, that's the classic case. And there was a problem that people didn't want to lend money. The Torah says, Yishom lecha penyeh dovem b'levavcha b'lial, you're going to do something which is not considerate, not menschlich. And you're not going to lend money because you're afraid he's not going to pay you back. There's a lav. But Yidden were not Eimid bin Nisoyin. We're talking over here, well into the period of the second Beis HaMikdash, there was a certain Yeridus HaDeris. Yidden then were a million light years above our Madrega of today, but Lamaisa. There was a certain weakening. There were certain people who didn't want to lend money. Hillel saw that there was a Mokoim to step in, and it was better to waive the din of Shemitah's Ksofim than to waive lending money. What he did was, he used a mechanism called a pruzbul. The pruzbul says, the Rav brings the Loshen, Moisani lochem plonyu plon dayonim. It's kilu, the person, the malva, comes to Bezdin, and he gives over the choiv to the Bezdin, shekol choiv sheyeshli etzel plonyi, shagvenu kozman sheretza. He gives over to the Bezdin a certain koyach, a certain bailus, in the choiv, or a certain koyach in the gviyas hachoiv, and then it's not considered his personal loan, and because of that, it's literally a technical trick to get around the problem of the regular choiv being nishmat, and then mele collect the choiv. The word pruzbul itself is an obscure word. It comes from pruzbuli buti, which means takona. A pruz is like a takona. For Ashirim is bully, Beloshen Aramis, ancient Aramis, not the Gemara's Loshen. This is the Loshen more Doma to Yerushalmi. Laniim is buti, so Pruz bully. Pruz bull, that's what it was called. There's a Takana for Ashirim, because then they would be more willing to lend. Takana certainly for Aniim, they'd be able to go to a Gemach and collect money. There's a discussion in the Gemara. This Hayesis is literally such an obvious trick. Is it Shaykh Chazal Masakin this to get around a din deraisa of Shemitah's Ksofim? And the Gemara really stells the chon this, and the pashtus of the Gemara is that the Takonis HaPruzbul was only Shaykh in the times of the second Beis HaMikdash, And the Pashtus, again, this is a sugya rechovo ad moed, when one learns Shmitas, Ksofen, and Shvias, the sugyas are here in Gittin. The Pashtus is that they were only misakin Shmitas, Ksofen, the times of the second base of Mikdash, that Shmitas is only midirabonon. Why is Shmita in the second base of Mikdash only midirabonon? Either because Kedusha Sa'oretz in the second base of Mikdash is only midirabonon, or specifically Shmita is derabonon because Shmita goes together with Yovel. Yovel is only when all of Klai Yisrael is in Eretz Yisrael, because there has to be a Hashovas. Yovel is Machse, all of the members of Klai Yisrael El Mekoimom. And in the second base of Mikdash, a lot of Klai Yisrael wasn't living in Eretz Yisrael. So Yovel is bottle, Shmita is bottle. It's only midirabonon. Shmita bizman is certainly midirabonon. There is a major machlokes Rishonim. I don't understand what exactly was derabonon over here. It's also possible that the Gemara only asked as a kasha, but lamaskona, maybe Shmita in the times of the second base of Mikdash was deraisa. Fafilo hochi, Hill made his takona. Vinishvi bizman hazeh Shmita is certainly derabonon. So again, the sheet of Rashi, Adaf Lamed Vov, and the Ravid, is that it's midin hefke bez nehefke. Enachanami, doesn't have to be there, it's midirabonon. Toisvis, the Rambam, other Rishonim hold that this is only bizman Shmita is derabonon. Now, what's awesome b'vur lefi that, is that even when Shmita is derabonon, one needs a prosbol. If not, the chayv would be nishmat. There's an opinion in Rishonim that holds up bizman hazeh, one doesn't even need a prosbol. That's why for hundreds of years, Rosh is matmir, for hundreds of years, in Europe, in medieval Europe, people didn't write prosbul. How are the chayvus not nishma? So maybe it's only b'mkoymois that are shaykh to Shmita, Eretz Yisrael, or Samach to Eretz Yisrael. Sometimes in the second base of Mikdash, you didn't live around Eretz Yisrael, either Egypt or Bovel or other Mediterranean lands. But when Yidden were living in France, in Germany, in Spain, there was no need for a prosbul. That's one possibility. Others hold that that way. Klal Yisrael l'maisa today, there's a resurgence of diktuk in these type of minyanim, in minyanei halacha that negate to momnis, Klal Yisrael writes prosbulim. The end of Shemitah, we said that there's a das yochid, there are those that are mahader, to write a Shemitah the beginning, to write a prosbul the beginning of Shemitah. Though that's the basics of the din of Shemitah over here, which the Mishnah puts into one line. It's a takona from Hillel. Again, like we said, Hillel is the dor, two dorim before Rabbi Gamliel HaZaken. It sounds like all these gzeiros were instituted by the Nosi Ubeis Dinoi.